A little bit of context. So I'm a freshman in college and I live in a suite with 7 other guys. We all get along quite well with just some minor bumps now and then. I'm closer to one named Andy, less close to Andy's roommate Jack. I'm a tall and thin guy. Andy is bigger than me, but not taller, just a broader dude. Jack is a hockey player, so he's pretty ripped but shorter than both Andy and I, and is usually a very relaxed guy. Jack is usually the aggregator. So last night I got home from a party and was pretty messed up, and my 2 suite mates had just gotten back from another party. Andy was blacked out. We danced around my room while I blasted music, and then Andy and Jack left to go smoke. I began to FaceTime my girlfriend. Then I hear more knocks on my door and I turn my laptop screen brightness off and shut off the sound. Andy and Jack walk in, high as a kite, and Andy is still blacked out. Andy begins to get a little aggressive, and so I went with it, pushing each other back and forth. Next thing I know, Andy's eyes just went out. He was still looking around, but you could just tell he wasn't in his mind at all. It's as if he just slipped into this odd trance. At that moment, he slammed me against the wall and had his hand around my neck, and I'm like, "Hey, Andy, that's enough, man." And he's not letting go. Jack sees what's up and comes over to coax him away, and Andy is not having any of it. He's just got his hand around my neck, pressing me against the wall, and has this death stare looking straight into my eyes. So at this point, I start to freak out a little bit, and I'm really trying to get out of the hold. Eventually, Jack gets him off of me, and I lunge at Andy to push him out of my room once and for all. Andy instantly puts me in this death-like chokehold where I can feel his arms getting tighter and my oxygen supply lower. At this point, I'm terrified and yelling at Jack to get him off of me and yelling, "I can't breathe." I don't know how we got him off, but we were in a bit of a scuffle trying to move Andy out the door. He's getting seriously aggressive trying to get through Jack's arms to me. I, at this point, jump backwards and lunge for the knife laying on my desk. I pull out the blade and yelled, "Andy, get out of my room." I think something clicked in his primitive head that told him knives are not to be messed with. I'm yelling at him and Jack tells me to put the knife away. So I do, and we lunge at Andy again. I've got my arms around his torso, pushing him out the door. He dumps a liter of Orange Crush on me that was open on the mini fridge right next to us. He then slips and falls in the soda, and while Jack grabs his arms, I pushed him out the door, shut it, and promptly locked it. Now Andy is banging on the door, punching the door, yelling at me, "You little baby, just open the door." Now I'm not really sure why he's doing this, but like I said, he was in this creepy trance I've seen him only one other time get in. The banging continues and his body's slamming the door while yelling, "I'm gonna break this door down and end you." All the while he's milling about between slams, just staring in my peephole. My girlfriend is still on FaceTime and is freaking out, understandably, and I'm at the door holding the knife, just pressing the door shut. Andy poured more soda under the door, but that didn't really do much other than make my floor sticky. Jack eventually left and stopped trying to get him to leave. About 15 minutes of this, I decide this is enough and had my girlfriend call public safety and say there's a dispute in suite 550 and to come quickly. 10 minutes later, pub safety shows up and he instantly complies with them to back away and sits down in a chair in the common room. I was honestly so terrified, and I'm glad that I had been drinking because if not, I would have been much more scared. "Andy, please get some help because I'm still a bit spooked to leave my door open." About 5 months ago, a friend of mine got expelled from his program because of bad marks. He was only halfway through his lease and he didn't see a point of staying in the city since he was only here for school. He told me that if I wanted to take over his lease, as a subletter, he would only half charge me the rent, which I thought was a pretty sweet deal. So naturally, although I am from this town, I thought it was time to leave for my parents' place. I had already graduated, and although I have been looking for a new job for a while, I still felt like I couldn't miss out on the opportunity. So I took over his lease and moved into his place. The house itself is actually pretty nice. It's 3 floors including the basement and it's located near the university of my town, which is not a very safe area overall, but I spent a lot of my university years here and never felt unsafe. The room in the basement is pretty small but cozy, and the only other room down here is a girl who is currently a student and she's pretty quiet. Actually, all the girls living here are pretty good roommates. I wasn't thrilled about living with three girls, but now I don't see why I would have thought it was an issue. They're all pretty great and a good time. I'm the only one in the house who is not a student, and also the only one who is originally from this town. The other roommates are actually all from cities that are only about an hour or two away at most, so unless there's something special going on, they all go home on weekends. My friend who got expelled also only lives 2 hours away, so he would always go home for the weekend as well. One thing I forgot to mention, which is pretty crucial to the story, is that the house actually has 5 rooms, but right when they all moved into the new place together, one of the girls had a seizure on her bed and passed away. This was pretty upsetting for everyone, and the landlord told them not to worry about finding anyone else. The rent never went up or anything, and the room was left vacant. According to the landlord, he just found it insensitive to try and find someone because he didn't want to turn someone's death into a financial inconvenience for him. So, after the girl's death, the parents came and took her belongings out of the room, and it just remained empty since then. I actually never looked in there because it just remained locked, and I don't really have much curiosity to see the room. It's on the 2nd floor, and I never go up there, so I never paid any attention to it. The first weekend I spent there was pretty uneventful. I remember that I spent one night at a boyfriend's place, and then the next night he slept over after we went out drinking at one of the college bars near the place. We were pretty wasted, so we passed out as soon as we got home. The next weekend, I was at home in my new room, and I couldn't sleep, so I decided to read a little bit. I was really enjoying the quietness of this new house since the girls weren't home at all. I come from a Latino family, so this quiet and serene environment was pretty rare. I thought that I heard a few noises upstairs, so I figured that one of the girls had probably decided to stay the weekend at the house, or she was just getting last-minute things ready before heading home. I didn't think much of this thing. I wasn't very close with the roommates, so I didn't even bother asking them if any of them had stayed home. I just felt like it was none of my business. The girl in the basement was for sure gone for the weekend because she apparently sleeps with her door locked and keeps it open when she's not home. One weekend, that same month, I woke up to pee and I could hear a toilet flushing upstairs, which was kind of weird since I knew that none of the girls were home. I was going to go check it out, but in my tired state, I was too lazy and just didn't care enough. It's funny, horror movies are supposed to make you paranoid, but the biggest lesson I got from them was that there's always a rational explanation for things. This would prove to be my biggest mistake because for a couple of months, I was always brushing things off and ironically creating irrational explanations to rationalize what I thought were irrational thoughts. For example, I heard creaking coming from the 2nd floor and figured one of the girls must have forgotten something and decided to come by to pick it up. The girl must have driven 2 hours down and 2 hours back to her town in the middle of the night to pick something up. One Saturday I woke up to get some water and I noticed that the roommate in the basement was gone. Her door was open and her car was not in the driveway. There weren't any cars in the driveway, but I should mention that one of the girls doesn't drive. A couple of hours later, I woke up because I heard steps coming down into the basement. At this point, I yelled out the girl's name who doesn't drive because she is the only one who could have been in the house. I didn't get a reply and just heard the steps going back upstairs. At this point, I started getting uneasy about being home on weekends, so I decided just to spend them at my boyfriend's house. One of the girls made a house Facebook page which was supposed to address any issues like washing dishes or leaving messes, but it remained pretty inactive since everyone seemed to get along. I posted on there that some creepy stuff was happening on weekends and asked them if they could start letting me know if they'd be home for the night or not. They seriously thought I was joking around. The replies were not receptive at all and consisted of laugh out louds and oh my god, you're so funny. Even my boyfriend agreed that I was being paranoid because he too believed that everything had a rational and perfect explanation. The thing is, when you say that everything has an explanation, you are only invalidating paranormal explanations or ghostly activity, which is not what I was implying at all. I have never believed in ghosts or spirits or any of that jazz, and I never claimed to when I spoke to my roommates or to my boyfriend. They kept saying that the house was old and made noises. But I know the difference between old house noises and someone walking down the stairs and back up the stairs. Fortunately, my roommates did start posting things on the Facebook page to let me know they'd be gone. It was always to the effect of, "Hey, I won't be home this weekend, so don't worry about the ghosts." One weekend they let me know that they would not be home and my boyfriend was on the midnight shift, so I had to spend the night on my own. My boyfriend called me on his break while I was on the phone with him. I heard noises on the main floor. I told him I was going to go check it out, and he told me to go ahead because that idiot still thought I was just being paranoid. As I said this, I heard the footsteps going back up the second floor. Once I got onto the main floor, there was nobody in the kitchen, and all the doors into the house were locked. I was extremely paranoid and didn't feel safe. My boyfriend calmed me down and convinced me that everything was okay, so I never went to the second floor, and it's probably best that I stayed on the main floor. After the weekend, I told my roommates in all seriousness that I was convinced that someone had been in our house at some point that night. I told them what I heard, and all those idiots still claimed that it was the old house making noises. My boyfriend was almost permanently on midnights, so I did what I never wanted to do and started spending weekends at my parents' place. The girls still posted on the page whether or not they were leaving the house or not, and I decided that I should do the same, so I also started posting when I was and was not sleeping at the house. One Friday night, the Facebook page looks something like this: Roommate 1, not sleeping at home. Roommate 2, not sleeping at home. Roommate 3, staying home because of midterm exams. Me, I'm staying at my parents'. The next morning, I received a frantic text from one of the roommates saying that the roommate with the midterms had been attacked. Apparently, she was in her room studying and heard a noise right outside of her bedroom. When she went out to inspect it, she was greeted by a man walking out of the dead girl's room. I later found out more details about the whole thing from the roommate who was attacked. The man looked rough, greasy hair, and just a dirty face. When they made eye contact, he held up his finger to his mouth and uttered a shh while smiling. The nail on his finger was long, and his beard was apparently really scraggly and uneven, like it only grew on certain parts of his face. She screamed out of instinct, even though she knew there was nobody in the house. He lunged at her as she tried to shut the door, and she wasn't beaten up too badly. He just growled and told her to shut her mouth and said something like, "I'm not going to hurt you, but keep your mouth shut." He beat her, but not completely unconscious, and then when he walked out of her room, he went downstairs and walked out the front door. So he left the dead girl's room unlocked. My roommate locked herself in her room and called the police, who were there immediately. What's pretty creepy about the whole thing is that when they inspected the dead girl's room, they kept asking for clarification. So nobody has lived in this room for how long? Nobody has been renting this room, right? Did the parents take everything after the girl passed away? The guy had a really sweet setup, actually, and had brought his own small mattress to put over the bed frame. Obviously, the mattress was too small for the bed frame. He left most of his stuff because he probably didn't expect a confrontation that night. I don't think he knew she would be there that night because she never was. It probably sucked for him when I moved in because before me, that idiot had the whole house to himself 2 days a week. The police did ask me quite a lot of questions and were interested in hearing my statement about hearing footsteps at night. My three roommates and my friend are now convinced that maybe the girl didn't die the way they said she did, and maybe he had something to do with it. But I think the autopsy would have been able to distinguish a murder from a seizure. In their defense, the whole thing is really creepy. We're not really sure how long the guy had been living there, but it's very likely that it had been for at least a few months. The theory is that the guy had been climbing in through the window, so it's possible that he was even there at times when all of us were there. The police are really interested in talking to the landlord because they want to know how the man found out about the vacant room. The landlord is a pretty decent guy, so I don't know if there's anything going on there. I don't even feel an I-told-you-so attitude from this whole thing. I think that I am just glad that the girl is okay because she seemed pretty shaken up. I just wish people were more willing to listen to me when I told them that I thought somebody was coming into our home. I even said it might be a squatter, which everyone laughed at. This happened very recently, so it might be a while before an update. As of now, the man had not been found by police, but the police remain optimistic about finding him, whatever that means. Amanda is my brother's girlfriend. At the time of this story, she was looking for her first apartment and moving out from her parents' house. Her and my brother didn't want to move in together since they had only dated for a few months. She instead opted to search for a roommate online. Browsing Craigslist, she found an ad titled something like, "Roommate Wanted, Females Only." This sort of thing was common since the area she was looking in was mostly young professionals. The listing was for a room in a house for about $225 a month, which was quite cheap compared to most places listed. The occupant listed herself as a 23-year-old student that wasn't quite comfortable living with any males. The other roommate would have their own room and attached bathroom. So far, Amanda was into this place. However, the listing only had a single photo from outside the property. Amanda sent an email wanting to meet the occupant and tour the house. Within 30 minutes, she receives an email back with all the details and a time to stop by. The girl worked late hours and wanted Amanda to stop by at 8 p.m. When Amanda arrives, there is a handwritten note on the front door saying, "Door broken, use back door." Walking around the house, it looks nice but slightly unkempt. Tall grass, weeds, dusty windows, etc. Still, no alarms for Amanda though. When she knocks on the back door and an older man opens the door, at first, Amanda thinks she has the wrong house, but the man reassures her and says that the occupant, I forget the name, was out and he was the landlord. The occupant asked him to meet Amanda since she was working late. He seemed pleasant and offered to show her around. Alarms started going off, but aren't at red alert yet. First, the guy was clearly in his 40s, unshaven, and looked like he lived in his car. Also, only the kitchen light was on. As they walked around the house, Amanda noticed one huge red flag. No furniture, nothing. The landlord was polite about answering questions, but seemed irritable to keeping lights on for too long, rushing her around and only letting her look at rooms for a few moments. There was a single room that the landlord wouldn't open, telling her that it was the occupant's room and he didn't want to invade her privacy. As they walked down the hallway into the living room, she notices the front door has a plank nailed across it. Broken, for sure. Amanda's creepometer is starting to ding, so she decides to wrap up the walkthrough and leave, but trying to be polite. As she's giving the guy her "thanks for the showing" bit, he perks up and states that he forgot to show her the basement. It's recently furnished and would be a great rec room, and she should take a look down there. At the time, Amanda and the landlord are standing in the small hallway between the living room and the back kitchen. In this little hallway was the basement door. When he opens the door, it opens outward to create something of a barrier between Amanda and the back door. The basement is pitch black. He smiles, motions downstairs, and says, "Ladies first." What happens next is nothing more than a stroke of luck. Amanda got a text just as some random person parks in the front of the house. Thinking on her feet, she pretends it's a phone call and answers her phone. "Hey, yeah, are you here? I'll come out from around back and let you in. It's great, you have to see it." With a motion of confidence, she excuses herself around the landlord and walks out of the back door. She says the guy just looked at her like he was confused. Once outside, she sprinted to her car and sped out of there. When Amanda got home, she told her mother and my brother everything. Cops were called, they took her statement and went to investigate. The Craigslist post had been removed. Now, the house had been foreclosed over 6 months earlier and the property had been abandoned. When the police investigated, they found that the closed room the landlord didn't want her to look in was where the man had been staying. There was a pile of old dirty blankets, rotten food, and empty gallon jugs everywhere. More creepy was he had plastered ripped up pages from adult magazines on all the walls in the room. Where do you even get those anymore? The real scary part was the basement. The man had tied a thin piece of fishing twine about shin level across the stairs about halfway down. The basement was empty except another pile of old blankets, a broom handle wrapped in leather belts, and a small box with a few rolls of assorted tape, duct, electric, etc. Amanda ended up not moving in. So a few years ago, I was studying on a university in a major city. Normally, I am living in a small town more than 70 kilometers from it, so as you might have imagined, I had to rent a room. I found one in a 4-story building. Most of it was rented by various students. The flat I was supposed to live in looked like, behind the door there was a 5 to 6 meter long corridor, very narrow one. On the right, there were 2 doors. Behind the first one, there was a room where my roommate was supposed to live in, then a kitchen, practically combined with a bathroom, which wasn't really hygiene positive, but it's an old building. On the end of the corridor, there was a big room that I was going to be living in. For a year or so, it was really great. My roommate was a female student that was rather nice. She even cooked things occasionally, which was a life-saving thing considering the fact that if I were to do this, I would probably burn water black. But then she got pregnant with her boyfriend and had to say goodbye to studying. Here enters my second roommate. In fact, even after living with him for nearly half a year and all that happened then, I don't even remember his name, really. That should tell you all you need to know about our relationship. He was a 20 to 22-year-old student whose face I don't even remember either. I saw him maybe twice, for he was working and studying when I was in the flat, and vice versa. So time passes, and we are ignoring each other. Everything is rather fine. Then things start to happen. The first warning was a call from landlord. He is a tad bit ugly old man, especially his teeth look terrible, either missing or dark yellow, but I can't say anything wrong about him as he's a decent landlord. Once I accidentally paid him too much and he quickly returned the surplus, so yeah, he was an honest guy. He had several flats in the city that he was renting to the students. He said to me that he would like me to watch over my roommate to see if something is wrong with him. Something happened in his workplace. I think he hit someone and he was talking gibberish about that when he met with the landlord about money. We paid him not through a bank account, but hand to hand. He visited us once a month for that. So later that day I returned to the flat. And what did I see? A kitchen cupboard is broken. It looked like an elephant sat on it, and the remains were spread over practically the entirety of the room. Roommate is going in circles, looking like he was trying to clean the place. I ask him what happened, and he answers something about a party ended up wrong. So right now I should probably say why I haven't left the place straight away. I'm kind of a sheltered kid, living in a small town in a not-so-big and rather peaceful European country. I am a student, and in all my life I haven't even seen any drugs. I never witnessed any crime. For me it was, well, he acts strangely, but hey, maybe he has a bad day. I went to bed, or rather a mattress, for I slept only on it. It wasn't easy to go to sleep because he was making noises in the kitchen. I even went there to ask him to be silent. He was so surprised by me speaking, like he literally jumped. He said something along the lines of, "Sure, okay," and then it was a tad bit less noisy. The fact that the kitchen was still a mess, and even though he was there all the time, should be a second warning, but once again I didn't connect the dots. I only barricaded the door just in case by pushing a table that stood next to them so that the edge of that should prevent the door from opening. Also, he had his right foot in a bucket. No idea why. I was brutally awoken around 4 a.m. by him screaming that I have to open the door right now. His voice was angry, not scared, so I doubted there was a fire or something, so I loudly refused. Then he opened them by kicking them. The table, with a computer on it, was pushed back from the impact. The big part of the jam broke off too. He entered my room and started screaming something incoherently that he knew what I was planning. He didn't attack me, but he just kept screaming. He also broke a ceiling lamp with my favorite cup that lied on the table next to the computer. I, on the verge of a panic attack, sent a text message to my father, who was regrettably more than 60 kilometers from me, about what was happening. He tried to call the police, but for some dumb reason in this country, they can only act if a direct witness or victim is calling them. So there was no help from them, which was completely stupid, in my opinion. The next half hour was strange, to say the least. My roommate kept screaming things incoherently. I think he somehow believed that I am after his life and continued to demolish the flat. I was still on my mattress, unable to leave because he was blocking the only way out. He nearly assaulted me when he saw my gloves. It was right after winter, which, as he decided, was proof that I'm a hitman, and I won't leave fingerprints if I kill him while wearing them. He was maybe half a meter from me while charging at me when he suddenly jumped back, screaming that he won't let me kill him that way. This routine was replayed several times. Several times he entered my room to scream something incoherently, only to leave quickly. In the end, I managed to get out by persuading him. The hardest persuasion skill test in my life, to be honest. That if I leave the house without taking the keys, then he will be safe. You can imagine how I felt moving through the corridor and unlocking the door, with him being in the kitchen behind me, which was full of knives. In the end, I, however, managed to flee, wearing only pajamas and with a phone in my hand. I took refuge in another apartment in the same building in which a relative of the landlord was living with two other persons. I knew him because once the landlord couldn't collect rent in person and asked me to give the money to him. They were even kind enough to make me some tea. I stayed there until the police came, then returned to the room. The roommate opened the door. While I was packing everything that was valuable, mainly the computer and books, he was in the kitchen. The police tried to interrogate him, but rather unsuccessfully. He wasn't really responsive, but he looked like his attack was over, his manic phase, I suppose. They left him there after telling him to go for a walk to cool his head. I, in the same time, left the flat. I waited for an hour in a safe distance from this place, and my father picked me up and we drove back to my town. A few hours later, my landlord called me after I left the flat and told me to come there. The roommate was still there, and once again he ended up having some sort of mental breakdown. The landlord called the police once again, as the fella barricaded himself on the balcony, threatening to throw things on people if he wasn't left alone. This time the police came in force and practically dragged him out of the building. Now the thing is that I don't know exactly what happened to him after that. Ever since that incident, I've heard two versions. First was some sort of instantaneous insanity, schizophrenia, a paranoid type, I suppose. I mean, I learned later on that he was ripping cables from the walls as he was searching for a government-made wiretapping. The second was that he took some drugs and then mixed them with alcohol and he somehow overdid it. The police searched through the room, but unfortunately, they found nothing. After that experience, I doubt that I will ever have a roommate again. My mom separated from my stepdad in early 2013 when I was 17. He had already threatened to kick me out of his home for a multitude of reasons, anything from violating curfew to being bisexual, and really, I wasn't a bad kid. All I did was work and go to school, so I moved out with my mom and agreed to pay one-third of the rent, or about $400 a month. At the time, I made $7.50 an hour to get verbally abused by customers and flip burgers, and I worked around 20 to 25 hours per week. Plus, I went to school. Plus, I kind of had a social life. So usually on any given week, I was home for about 2 evenings and out otherwise. My mom was pretty lenient with me since I was paying rent, so my curfew was probably anywhere between 12 and 2:30. My mom worked full-time at a Wawa that was about 45 minutes away. She was also in school and had a boyfriend that lived a town over. She was home about as often as I was. We had a cat. It was just us. And this apartment used to be a barn. It split into 4 apartments, 2 on both floors, and has an inaccessible attic and a basement that's incredibly creepy. It's off of a main road and a ways back down a driveway and an open field with a few other ancient buildings around it, and not much else besides trees. Initially, we took comfort in this, but then it got weird. Like really weird. There was a closet in her bedroom that locked from the inside, and randomly it would be locked. Same with the pantry. Small things would be moved. And more we noticed we were missing things. Things would happen by themselves. Did you smoke a bowl out of my grinder? Why and when did you eat all those Cheez-Its? How did the cat flip over the litter box? It was eerie, but it was right outside of a Civil War zone, a major one, said to have hosted the bloodiest battle outside of Gettysburg. It was so dumb, but at first we thought it was a ghost or we thought it was the other person. Obviously, it was a tense and weird time in our household. And I was getting sick of my mom smoking all the time, so before I left work one day after she had left work too, I set up a simple string trap that would snap when she opened the door. I just wanted to know for sure it was her and that we didn't have a pothead poltergeist floating around our house. An hour before my shift ends, my mom calls to tell me that she needs to cover another shift. So she'll be doing a double, and did I have bus money to get home? I did, so I went home. To my surprise, the string trap had been tripped. I was again missing a pinch of my green. I was incredibly sober and beyond explainably paranoid. My chest was starting to feel tight with anxiety, and I grabbed the pepper spray out of my bag. As I left the room, I heard feet shuffling above my head. My heart dropped. I might have even crapped myself. I grabbed the paraphernalia, set it somewhere safe outside, and bolted from the house and ran to the Burger King across the street where I dialed 911. After a little bit, the police showed up. I was beginning to feel like I definitely overreacted. I felt so stupid. I wanted to tell Officer Jones to go home. I changed my mind. There was nobody smoking anything in my house. But I did feel better when they told me that they would go search the house, and one of them stayed outside to wait with me while the others searched for the footsteps. And I'm on the phone with my mom, who's a mixture of angry and concerned, telling her that it's probably all good and I'm sorry for scaring her. But then the door to the house swings open. I can hear a struggle, and I walk to see it better. A police officer and a husky bearded man are wrestling at the foot of my stairs, just in front of the door. The bearded guy is holding onto the doorknob with one hand. I was so shocked and afraid I had to hang up the phone. The bearded man gets away and makes a sharp left across the patio over the short wooden fence and into the field with all the trees in it. He has gone into the night. The officer disappears after him only to return and tell me that he got away. They did a thorough sweep of the house. They found his semen around the drain of the shower, as well as, oh God, on our loofahs and razors. They discovered that the pantry had an attic drop-down door that was painted over, that this man had chipped at to get inside long before we showed up. He had been squatting there since the summer. When people moved in, he took to hiding in the attic, pantry, or closet. He came out when we weren't home. He ate her food. The officers didn't know this part, but he also smoked our green. He probably had a bond with our cat. If he didn't actually see me with my boyfriend, he definitely heard it. And seriously, who wanks it on a razor blade? Ew, it just makes me want to die to this day when I think about it. My mom's boyfriend moved in with us shortly after, and I was home even less. To this day, I am paralyzed with fear when I hear a strange noise like the house settling. I keep mace on me always, everywhere, at all times. This guy wasn't even violent, I guess, but just the idea that he wanked his free willy onto my loofah makes me feel unsafe in a profound way. I saw the other signs, I acknowledged them, and I ignored them.
So I'm 16 years old now and living in a duplex with my family, which consists of three younger brothers all under 5, my 18-year-old sister, and my mother and father. About 3 years ago, when we lived in our old apartment, I was home alone for the entire day. This was pretty normal as my father worked in the summer. My mom would take the kids out to do things like swimming and other things like that. I usually just slept in, and I had a small list of chores that I had to do during the day before everyone came home. One of those happened to be laundry. The way that the apartment is set up is on each level, there's about 20 places where people live, and only one laundry room shared amongst us. I lived a few doors down from it, and I had to pass the door to the stairs in order to get to it, which that door had a little window. I was going to throw the clothes from the washer into the dryer when I then heard a clicking noise. I wasn't really sure what it was, but for a second I decided to listen before it then stopped. I was always really freaked out from that apartment, and this definitely wasn't helping. I finished throwing the laundry into the dryer and then started it. Then I started walking down the hall when I then heard that same clicking noise yet again. I froze. It sounded like it was coming from the stairwell. So as scared as I was, I looked out the window, and to my surprise, I didn't see anyone. Really relieved, I booked it down the hall to my apartment. I closed and locked the door, going about the day again, or so I tried. When it's quiet in that apartment, you can really hear everything. Conversations, footsteps, laughing, everything, especially from the hallway, and that's where the most crap was heard. I was in the kitchen feeding my animals when I heard slow, heavy footsteps in the hall. It sounded like they were coming down the hall right outside of the apartment. I decided to run to the living room and mute the TV so that I could listen, when I then heard three loud bangs at my door. I was kind of crapping my pants at this point, not really knowing what to do. I kept the TV muted and slowly moved my way to the door, looking out the peephole. I was horrified at what I saw. It was a black figure standing with its back towards me. I didn't know what to do, and I was frozen in place. And then, I heard a familiar sound. that same bizarre clicking sound that I heard before. I noped the hell out of there and grabbed my animals, then hid in my room. I mean, I was really scared, but I was starting to wonder if it was really nothing. I usually listen to scary stories just like these to scare the crap out of me, but maybe something was actually there. Later in the evening, when my sister arrived home, I told her about what I saw because she's really into supernatural things like that. When I told her what I saw, the color from her face ran away. She said something along the lines of seeing that same figure, but in dark rooms and hallways, not lit ones. The next time I encountered it, I was sleeping on the bottom bunk and my sister in the top. The clock read 3:37 a.m., the fan was going, and the nightlight was plugged in. My sister was sound asleep at this point. I heard the clicking again, but this time quieter and from under the bed. One of my cats on my bed didn't seem to notice it, so I figured maybe I was just imagining it. That was until I then noticed a long, black, bony, cold arm then reach out and start making its way right up to my bed. I then yelped, enough to wake up my sister, but no one else. Pretty groggily, she just tells me to shut up and that she's trying to sleep. "But you gotta see this," I say as I look down and notice the thing's gone now. I didn't catch an ounce of sleep that night. I have lots of other terrifying stories from that hellhole apartment, but I think most of them revolve around that thing. Ever since I moved, I haven't had anything weird happen since. I'm just really glad that thing never followed me to my new house. Thank God for that.